This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new episode of Knowing Wheel, episode 137 of your favourite Formula One show. And as always, I'm joined by Jamie183. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. I've just got two things to address because as you started recording, I was adjusting my headrest, so it looks like I'm having a fit. So there you go. I hope that didn't distract anyone. And also, I hope this doesn't distract people, but I'm wearing a I'm going out for dinner immediately after this, not a date. So yeah, I'm dressed up to go out for dinner, which is surprisingly only the second time in 137 episodes that I've recorded in a suit or in a blazer. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So, blazer.
Shut up.
That's a joke that most of you won't get, but with good reason as well. But yeah, today yes. Though, of course, quickly, before we dive in to all of the talks from the Japanese Grand Prix, of course, just our quick little pre-shout-out. Of course, Knowing Wheel from 2024, if you're watching this on my main YouTube channel, will be going live exclusively over on the Knowing Wheel YouTube channel. There'll be a link to that down in the description below. So, of course, yeah, please do make sure you get yourself subscribed over there. Jamie, in our little battle against you, my friend, how many subs are you on currently on your personal?
I need to remember to get this ready before every time.
You need this data prepared and good to go.
544.
You're gaining subs.
Wait, I've actually gained six.
You're gaining subscribers during this.
How has that happened?
So we're currently on 226. So what are we now? 318 away?
Wow. That's impressive that I'm gaining subscribers. Who knew?
We are not closing in as quickly as we'd hoped. So, of course, yeah, if you're watching this on my main YouTube channel, please go and subscribe to us over on the second channel and unsub from Jamie183 if you're subscribed there as well, of course. And, of course, yeah, if we hit 10,000 subscribers on the Knowing Wheel channel at any point in the future, then we will try to get to every F1 factory inside 24 hours. But, Jamie, of course, we mentioned just, in last week's preview for the Japanese Grand Prix, hadn't we, that because we run on Knowing Wheel time, which often means we talk about something and then something else gets confirmed, we did get it right, didn't we, this time? Danny Ric and Yuki Tsunoda have been re-signed.
Yeah, indeed, they have. And I feel very bad for Liam Lawson, to be perfectly honest. I think he's done enough to warrant a seat. But then equally, I would feel bad for any of those three who didn't get a seat, to be honest. So, yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. I do completely see Liam Lawson getting a drive for a Red Bull-backed team in the future. So, yeah, it's good for both Yuki and Danny. We kind of spoke about it last week. And, yeah, it is a shame for Lawson because, again, he did a very adequate job this weekend in the AlphaTauri.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was a shame as well, is it? Because, obviously, you just touched upon it then, but it's believed that Lawson is re-signed on the proviso that he is guaranteed a Red Bull back seat for 2025. But, honestly, if I was him, I would have potentially tried to keep some options open. Now, of course, as we kind of already spoke about this last week. So obviously, for those of you that missed out on our Japanese Grand Prix preview show, obviously we won't go too much into it. But kind of the big talks at the moment, isn't it, now, is down at Williams. Because apparently, Lawson, Mick Schumacher and Logan Sargeant are basically in a simulator shootout for that drive, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think I've kind of said it since the summer break that Sargeant needs to pick it up, basically, which you've gone against me on basically every time I said it, but now it's looking fairly accurate because I think, yeah, the team are getting a bit more annoyed with just how often Sargeant isn't delivering and is instead crashing. But yeah, I think Lawson to Williams, I just don't quite see them having two Red Bull back drivers. I guess Albon's kind of their own driver now.
Yeah, Albon isn't technically, I don't believe, backed by Red Bull anymore.
No, probably not. So it could happen. I think they're probably going to stick with Sargent, but I do think he needs to stop crashing. If he has one good weekend, I think that's that. But if he just keeps on doing what he did in Singapore and in Suzuka, then maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, it does really feel like, because of course we mentioned it, I think it was at the Dutch Grand Prix, wasn't it? Where obviously we'd spoke about Logan Sargent, because this is kind of where all these talks originally came in. And I kind of said at the time that he hadn't been crashing that much, and it feels like every weekend since then, with the exception of Monza, he's stacked it in quite a high-profile way in one way or another. And I mean, James Vowles has come out saying that, you know, it's forcing Williams to redirect, you know, development for 2024. Obviously, they're having to use staff and money and resources rebuilding this year's car over and over, which, of course, is, you know, just a bit of a nightmare for them. And, of course, acted as a bit of a precursor, didn't it, as we went into the weekend, because, well, Logan Sargeant would do it again, wouldn't he, in Q1?
Yes, immediately, really. In the first time he's turned a wheel in anger a weekend, and he stacked it coming out the last
turned
corner
it the wrong
on the
way.
Run to the line, which not the best from Sargent. And again, in the race he made a bit of a mess up as well, didn't he? But we'll get into that later. But yeah, not good news for him. I think the pressure is really, to be honest, just getting to him. You can kind of see it, because at the start of season he wasn't doing too badly in terms of, like, maybe a few little mistakes, but then it's his first couple races, you kind of forgive it. This far in, you kind of think the pressure's on and he's not really swimming.
Yeah, it does very much seem like going from, you know, treading water, occasionally ducking his head under, it seems more often now that he's just trying to gasp for air, isn't he? And it's not really looking... Because, I mean, yeah, that mistake at Suzuka, you know, it's the first run in Q1. You know, that Williams car was never going to be particularly competitive this weekend. He loses the back end slightly and just keeps his foot mashed to the floor. And, you know, surely there's got to be... I mean, I'm sure there already has been a conversation down at Williams. But the goal has got to just be get that car back to the pit lane after every session in one piece at this point. More than any other team, I would have thought, on the grid. For Williams, it is about just getting that car back over and over and over.
I know. He probably puts a lot of pressure on himself because he's still, what, 16-0 down on Albon or whatever it is now. So he probably really wants, because, like I said, if he has one weekend where he's better than Albon, that'll be that. And it's like, right, you're in for 2024. So he's probably just got massively high pressure on him from every area of his life, really, so including himself. So, yeah, I feel for him, but also this is the biggest sport in the world. It's like the pinnacle of what you try to get. So, yeah, deal with it almost.
Well, there is an element of that, isn't there? You know, it sounds harsh, and there'd be a lot of Twitter people going, oh, just, you know, give him a break. But no, it's a high-profile business worth billions of dollars. If you're not delivering, you're not delivering. It's like, you know, it's the similar kind of situation, isn't it, to Mick Schumacher last year, where clearly he just didn't have the pace. And, of course, you know, all these talks about, you know, our Mercedes trying to get him into Williams, I don't think it makes sense from Williams' point of view. You know, if it is a shootout between Sargent, Mick Schumacher and Lawson, all my money would be going on Lawson right now in terms of actual talent. I agree with you. Sargent will keep that seat. But, you know, if it was me making the call, I would be really trying to get Lawson in the car. I mean, you know, claiming a nice, decent paycheck from Red Bull for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think I would like Lawson in there, but I think it'll be Sargent, and it's a shame. I definitely don't think it'll be Schumacher.
No, I think Schumacher, you know, we've mentioned this before time and time again, haven't we? Schumacher is destined now, I think, for a career. Well, apparently he's going to Alpine for GTP, which would make a lot of sense as well. But yeah, obviously Q1, Logan Sargent bidding it, kind of was the only real incident, wasn't it, in Q1. It was a fairly undramatic qualifying session on the whole. Joined obviously by Bottas, Zhou Guanyu, that Alfa Romeo, just what's happened to them recently. Stroll again, you know, that Aston Martin seemingly is struggling. You know, we kind of said this right from the get-go, didn't we, that we felt Aston Martin would struggle to keep up with the development of other teams. And Stroll once again out in Q1, and Nico Hülkenberg, pretty much since you tried to bang it into my head that he was doing better than Magnussen, has now not qualified better than Magnussen every race since, which I believe is two.
He needs the pressure of having no contract for the following year, and then it'll do bits again. But yeah, two races in a row, Magnussen has had more quali pace, which has definitely not been the case all season. but it's still something like 13-4 or maybe 12-5 or something. So, you know what, we'll take
yes. that. Yes, yeah, and of course we dive into Q2 and, you know, we actually kind of spoke about this before the show, but it very much seemed like a weekend where there were no real massive surprises. I mean, Lawson just missed out on Q3. It was a bit of a shame, but of course AlphaTauri really, you know, I wonder how many of Red Bull's parts now that they can buy, you know, fairly, that they now have. Gasly, Albon, Ocon, and Kevin Magnussen all out in Q2, which, yeah, Yuki Tsunoda making it into Q3 at his home Grand Prix was a pretty decent showing, wasn't it? Of course, you know, talking about decent showings, must have obviously been Max Verstappen's pole lap.
Oh, yes. What a lap that was. And just the casual nature of it, you know, probably, maybe apart from race one, maybe Monaco, like, it's one of the highest pressure laps of the season because I guess everyone's talking about, is the Red Bull now done? You know, Singapore didn't go very well. It's a hard track, very narrow margin for error. And his engineer's like, can you get a 36? He's like, yeah, sure. And he just goes and like puts a 36.9 in and it's like, 20, there you go.
28
and that was it. Sorry, 28. I forgot what the number was. There we go. Yeah, absolutely battering everyone, including his teammate Perez, who, again, should have been way, way closer. But we're just watching a driver at the absolute top of his game who's going to go down as one of the best in history. So you kind of just got to appreciate it. And obviously, I like it because I'm a fan of his. But he was on it all weekend. It was never a doubt in my mind that Verstappen wasn't going to win that race.
Yeah, I mean, he apparently came into the weekend. Apparently, he had a game of paddle. What's it called? Racquetball or something like that.
Oh,
with Christian Horner. During paddle. The week, and it said he wanted to win the race by 30 seconds. Like, after all the talks in Singapore, he just wanted to basically come into this weekend and kick everyone up the behind.
And then tell him to suck an egg in a press conference. Pretty much. That was quite good.
But the other big talking point has got to be Oscar Piastri in P2 on a track that he's never driven before. Again, this young man, given a new contract, is absolutely delivering.
Oh, yes. And I think there's a conversation that McLaren are up there for best lineups on the grid.
I think, like maybe them, Mercedes, maybe are probably in the fight at the moment.
And Ferrari.
Would you say Ferrari?
I think all of those three.
Fair enough.
Just given how slow Perez has been all year. I think that drives Red Bull down quite a lot. So, yeah, I think Piastri is right up there among certainly top eight, top ten on the grid very comfortably. So he's just doing amazingly well, and you know, fair play to McLaren for sticking him in and getting him off of Alpine. That was very good business for them last year. But yeah, front row start for Piastri, and yeah, very, very solid again. Quite a predictable race followed from this quite a predictable qualifying session. So very well done to Piastri all weekend, really.
Yeah, no, mega job, wasn't it? Of course, Lando Norris lining up P3 ahead of Leclerc. Perez, as we said, down in P5, split the Ferraris. Mercedes, another weekend where they just really seemed to struggle, wasn't it? And yeah, Tsunoda and Alonso rounding out our top 10. But of course, that brought us then into Grand Prix Sunday. Of course, yeah, Max able to defend from those McLarens on the rundown towards Turn 1. You know, there was such a part of me that wanted to see Piastri get the jump on him. But yeah, unfortunately, obviously, Max very, very... You know, again, it's another driver that you just put in your place, isn't it, for Max Verstappen? Mm-hmm. And then Lando obviously able to swoop round Oscar as well. But there was chaos behind.
Oh, yeah. There were like two sets of the same incident, which was quite mad. So you kind of had a precursor to it with the fight at the front. You had three wide briefly with Piastri, Verstappen, Norris. But I think further down the grid, you had Sainz, Hamilton and Perez kind of all kind of trying to shuffle over to the left-hand side
and
of the
Leclerc,
track.
And Leclerc, I believe. I thought they were four wide.
Maybe it was Leclerc. Yeah. And basically, all of them trying to shuffle over causes the car on the outside, which, well, the two cars were Hamilton and Perez on the outside, to briefly come to blows. They basically got away with it, although Perez got a puncture. Hamilton got a small bit of damage, I think, on this front wing. And they all carried on, although Perez did pit at the end of the first lap. And then even further down the grid, you had Ocon, Albon and Bottas in a very, very similar situation, with Ocon shifting over, maybe not realizing there's two cars to his left, but then you kind of expect he would realize that, and squeeze the other two completely into the side of the track. And Albon, I don't know how he carried on briefly for that, because his car was in the air quite dramatically. He made a good thumbnail for the YouTube race highlights. And yeah, very, very surprised that there wasn't like an airplane crash with that, to be honest. But Ocon got away with it with no penalty and no damage. So quite fortunate for him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I believed.
Yeah, I think, obviously, yeah, Perez obviously left with a puncture, as you said, from that incident. Albon and Lance Stroll both would have to retire later on in the Grand Prix. And obviously, Alfa Romeo, both cars damaged on what just seems like not even a weekend necessarily to forget anymore, but pretty much just a season, isn't it? Alfa Romeo just gone away completely. And it got even worse, didn't it? Because then Sargeant obviously started from the pit lane, would then take Bottas out as well.
Yeah, completely. And that was a so, like, for those long-time F1 fans, all the people who weirdly had that Kimi Kobayashi trend on YouTube last year, you know about Japan 2010, where Kamui Kobayashi, in an era where you could not overtake in a Formula 1 car, he overtook about six cars with the same move down the inside of that hairpin. And he absolutely nailed it almost every time. And then Logan Sargeant tried it. I guess the cars are bigger these days and harder to stop, but completely made a mess of it, spun Bottas out, and that was his race done. Sargeant was able to carry on, but had a penalty. And then eventually, I think he retired too, didn't he, for damage?
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, not the best from Logan Sargeant again.
No, and yeah, a nightmare obviously for Williams, leaving both their cars out of the Grand Prix. I mean, like we said, you know, it kind of wasn't a huge amount going on. Hamilton and Russell had a decent little battle, didn't they, into the Casio Triangle, which was quite good fun. You know, some aggressive elbows out driving. Very much felt like Russell, you know, Hamilton has had the better of him most of the season. But both drivers, obviously Mercedes, just on the whole, struggling this weekend. So Russell, I think, was trying to get the upper hand, didn't he? But couldn't quite manage it that time round.
Yeah, though he made it work into the chicane, but then Hamilton kind of switched back to it and got him into turn one down the inside with DRS. So a brief battle, and it kind of, we saw a bit more of that later on. I guess the spoon curve too, later on, with Hamilton kind of accidentally pushing Russell off and going off himself, a la Brazil 2021. But they got away with no penalty and but left Russell quite annoyed later on. But we'll get to that.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, Perez as well, you know, again, the other high-profile incident the afternoon, of course, after, you know, having to restart the race from the back of the field after picking up a penalty under the safety car as well for jumping cars as he was heading into the pit lane, then went and took Kevin Magnussen out in a similar move to Sargeant on Bottas from earlier on. And from a driver with, what, over a decade experience? Not great. And another weekend to forget for Sergio as, you know, Verstappen waltzes away at the front and Perez picks up no point.
Yeah, yeah. And realistically, that should have been an easy P2 for him in that car. But even before the crash, even before the damage on lap one, obviously that damage was only because he qualified fifth instead of second. And then, yeah, not good at all from Perez all weekend, really. And this crash was so rookie.
Yeah. Just, I mean, what I always think as well with that one is, had he not locked up, it probably would have made it look more like Magnussen's fault. But the fact he locked up clearly showed, obviously, he was out of control of the car. And obviously, yeah, sent Magnussen into a spin as well there. But, I mean, his strategy kind of played out though, wasn't it? Most cars were on the two-stop. George Russell, one of the only ones who was attempting the one-stop, wasn't he? But kind of got a little bit screwed over by that later on, obviously, as we'll talk about. But Alonso as well, you know, after a decent getaway, obviously picking up some of the pieces from those other cars, getting involved in incidents at the start. Aston Martin just weren't there this weekend, were they?
Yeah, not at all. Their pace really was poor. He ended up, after the first stop, what, fighting with Tsunoda and Ocon for a bit. It's like, look at where they were at the start of the season, really fighting,
you know, Ferrari,
everyone,
Mercedes,
but Red Bull. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really poor development, as we said. But Alonso did recover. I think he ended up on the fringe of the points, ahead, kind of where you expect him to be, behind, you know, the top four teams.
Yeah.
And there thereabouts.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we kind of got some team orders, didn't we? Obviously, Norris, again, got team orders past Oscar Piastri, which, you know, again, I feel like Oscar is allowing this year, but, you know, in the future, maybe he's going to start trying to get his elbows out a little bit more. And then, really, kind of, I won't lie to you, James. Jamie?
Wow. It's feeling formal.
It's because you're in your tux, mate. It's why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I kind of drifted in and out of a wake throughout the end of the race. So I didn't actually realise how badly Russell fell back down the order towards the end. So if you could talk me through, that would be grand.
Yeah, so he was... Well, he decided to try a one-stop strategy just because he was running, what, seventh or something.
Because
so
why not?
Might as well try something different. Ended up P2 briefly with the everyone else doing two stops. Was behind only Verstappen ahead of everyone else. And then basically... just fell and fell and fell. And the first couple moves, Norris and Piastri going past was slightly difficult. It was only right at the end of the straight into turn one that they got past. But then as he got lower and lower, you kind of had it become easier and easier. Leclerc was a good move around the outside of turn one by him. And then it was kind of this little bit of controversy towards the end with briefly had Russell fifth, Hamilton and Sainz right behind. And Russell was saying, leave Hamilton where he is. I'll just DRS tow him and then swap at the last lap. Which, in theory, makes sense, but in reality, I don't think would have worked because Russell was going so slowly that Hamilton trying to stay behind would have just meant Sainz got both of them, I think, to be honest. So, eventually, yeah, they did swap them over and Sainz immediately got past Russell too, and that was that, really.
Yeah, I think, obviously, unfortunate for George, but, you know, like we said, obviously, Merck just had to try something, didn't they? But yeah, it meant Max Verstappen, again, we've said it so many times this year, no, Singapore wasn't the start of something new. Red Bull are probably going to win every other race now, aren't they?
What was that about the technical directive?
We really did live in hope, didn't we?
Sorry, you.
Not you necessarily, but we as in non-Red Bull fans.
The collective, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't argue against it. You know, Jamie summed it up perfectly earlier on, isn't he? It's just one of those instances where it's a team and a driver... both on their absolute best, and you know, we kind of, it will absolutely be one of those things, you know, people go on about Schumacher now and go, oh, you know, he was, you know, absolutely fantastic, and people hated it at the time. You know, I'm sure it will be the same in the future, isn't it? But you know, I get a lot of comments from people saying I'm a salty against Max. I never have claimed not to be, but I also, you know, can admit at the moment,
no defense, just admission.
No, but I can also admit at the moment, you know, he's absolutely just, you know, doing everything he needs to, isn't he? You know, he's just...
doing everything right.
Just, yeah.
No one can
exactly.
stop him.
You know, he was kind of this Max that a lot of people had spoke about for years, you know, was the future of Max Verstappen. And, well, here it is. Here's your future, ladies and gentlemen. And it's pretty boring, isn't
Don't
it?
Don't we all love it? yeah, I'm pleased. I'm pleased that Max is creating a dynasty, but I'm sad that it comes at the cost of Formula One being a bit dead at the minute. But that's kind of...
that's how all dynasties
how
are created, isn't
any,
it?
Any time someone... dominates, you know, the end of 2013 F1 was horrific, but it was like Seb was winning every race by lap two and it was like, sweet, okay. But we look back now and it's like, oh, what a historic time. You know, you got to look at the midfield and it's entertaining, that kind of thing, which is exactly what we're going through.
Exactly.
Now, and the same in 2003, sorry, not 03, that was good, wasn't it? 04 02, you know, arguably 17 was
17?
Like verging on that, 19 and, well, 2020 definitely.
Like 17 was a decent title battle until Seb
threw
it away.
Yeah. Hey, 2020 was the worst one probably for Hamilton, wasn't it? And that was fine because we had nothing else to do in lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. So. And there was a lot going on further back, wasn't it? Although, to be fair, we say that. Yeah. 2020, I think, had... who was it that won in 2020? Hamilton, Bottas, Max, and...
Perez.
Is it only those four that won a race?
And and Gasly.
I was going to say, I thought four different teams won a race in 2020. Which hadn't happened in the hybrid era up to that point.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
It is
of course,
it is.
I mean, the only other real interesting moment from the Grand Prix, wasn't it, was Alpine doing the French team orders as well, right at the finish line, Austria 2001/2 style.
So strange. Because Gasly, basically Ocon with that damage on lap one, had to run a kind of offset strategy. So ended up on very bad tyres at the end of the race. You had Alonso in 8th, and then the Ocon Gasly battle 9th and 10th. They swapped them over, because Gasly's on much fresher tyres, and then Gasly goes and chases after Alonso, doesn't get that near, and then they tell him to swap back, and it's like, if they hadn't swapped them in the first place, Gasly would have absolutely torn past Ocon anyway. So, for Gasly's sake, you're always better off not having the team orders to begin with, and... just letting him overtake like normal. I guess you don't want to run the risk of them crashing, which is actually quite a possibility with Ocon in the team. So, yeah, it was just bizarre. And Gasly was very upset afterwards. I did love his Instagram post where The second slide, there were only two pictures on this post. One was of him in the race suit, obviously. Second slide was a very tactically chosen picture of him running ahead of
Nice. You love it, you love it. I mean,
which was very funny.
It's just the pure uncut cocaine that is French, isn't it, Jamie? Everything going on there. But it would obviously, yeah, like we said, Max win, McLaren double podium, and the lovely new, what's it, Kiss trophies.
Only worked for Verstappen. Yeah. Well, it's just people showing off, isn't it, with design. It's better than a big monkey that was in France.
No, I liked the big monk. That was great for you. And it wasn't 1 year, it was every year, wasn't it, at Paul Ricard?
Was it?
Wow. But yeah, these new Kiss to activate trophies meant we got to watch Max Verstappen tongue a trophy on the podium.
It'll be the only thing that Lando Norris is kissing anytime.
Probably, yeah. Shots fired by Shagger183 over there in the corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lando obviously P2, Oscar Piastri P3 there. Leclerc, Hamilton, Sainz, Russell, Alonso, Ocon and Gasly top 10. So, you know, a pretty run-of-the-mill, wasn't it? Six teams scoring should have been Perez and Five. Stroll. Just really not a race of much surprise, was it? Lawson and Sonoda 11th and 12th. No. So again, Lawson showcasing why you know, AlphaTauri should be signing him.
Williams.
Williams for that matter. And it did mean that Red Bull won the Constructors, and it's safe to say no one apart from maybe Christian Horner cared.
Yeah, yeah, Christian Horner lapped it up on the podium, didn't he? But yeah, it's been coming since March. So... yeah, I think Max would be winning it on his own, I think.
I believe he still would be.
Yeah, which is crazy, crazy stuff. And he can win the Drivers' Championship next time out in Qatar in the sprint.
All
race,
he needs is P4 in the sprint, which we'll talk about more next week, I'm sure. But it is, you can't win a world championship
also,
the right way.
The stat I like the most from this, for all of you who say Nick Heidfeld's a fraud, Lando Norris is only three podiums away from being the most podiums that to win in Formula One history. On 10 now, so get on with it, get a win, otherwise you'll end up Nick Heidfeld.
I wonder though, with that, how many drivers have had more podiums and then got a win?
Well, Perez, no, probably not Perez.
No,
actually.
Perez has still only had like 8 podiums in his career for the way he's been driving the last couple of years. Like, there's got to be a few drivers that have had, like, Jenson Button, I think, is probably a good example, I would imagine, who had quite a lot of podiums.
I doubt he had 13.
He probably, 2004. BAR was a decent car, just couldn't win. It just constantly, because all it, I mean, because basically what Lando is in the situation of course, is you're just in the second best car against a car that's dominant. You know, in a similar fashion to obviously Max, the, you know, Ham bought Ver in 2020, wasn't it? Every week.
Oh, Button was on exactly 13.
Well, there you go
one.
Then. See.
Interesting. Interesting. Good knowledge from Matt.
Thank you. Shall we go? Shall we do a quiz, Jamie? Have we got a quiz this week?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this quiz, and it's, you're going to love it because it's not timed.
Wonderful.
Once, so there's no pressure. No,
there
on
is
you.
Pressure on me. There's always pressure on me.
As we saw, there was a debut podium sitter this weekend in the form of Oscar Piastri.
Correct.
So I don't. Let's have a look. 15? No, 16. Wow, is it really 16 drivers have a podium on the grid? That's horrific.
That seems right.
That is right. Actually, if I throw in Daniel Ricciardo, who I haven't thrown in yet, then we'll call it another one. So, we're going to go through them in a slow, calm manner. And you're going to give me when each driver scored their debut podium.
Oh, okay.
On the grid.
Okay.
So, we'll begin with Lewis Hamilton.
It would have been Australia 2007.
Correct. In fact, why don't you pick the order?
And
then
keep running through them for me. Go
okay, on. We'll go Fernando Alonso.
Ooh. I want to say, I believe it was the same race Kimi Raikkonen took his first win. I want to say Malaysia 03.
You would be correct.
Wonderful.
2 out of 2. Where should we go next? Kevin Magnussen.
Australia 2014, debut race again.
Correct. We'll do Daniel Ricciardo, but before you say it, I need to check because I've done it off the top of my head.
It was not Australia 2014, I can tell you that much.
No, it certainly wasn't. I have got it right.
Don't believe, because round two of the season was Bahrain, I think, and that was Perez that got a podium there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say China 2014.
One too soon. Who was Spain 2014? But so you're three out of four. I need to actually take them.
I was going to say, you're doing this in a very odd order.
Yes. Valtteri Bottas.
So it would have been at Williams. Mm-hmm. It would have been 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Where, though, in 2014? Because Williams had a decent car that year, but often couldn't quite deliver. Again, obviously, wasn't... Was it, in fact, Albert Park in the end? No, I don't think so. I'm going to have to just really guess this one, I think. I'm going to say... Austria 2014. Hey! Correct.
That was a
Felipe Massa, last ever pole position that weekend. And it then was, fell to like seventh in the race, I feel like I remember.
I think it's only fourth. I think it was fourth in the end. Charles Leclerc. Nice.
Oh, okay, yeah. That would have been Bahrain 2019. Should have won.
Correct. Max Verstappen.
Spain 2016.
Correct. Oscar Piastri.
Japan, 2023.
Checo Perez.
There, this is a good one. Is it Malaysia 2012, I believe?
Indeed. Yep. Carlos Sainz.
That was Brazil 2019. Because
mm-hmm.
Never saw him on any of the broadcasts all day, and then he didn't actually get a podium on the road, did he? So you still didn't see him.
20th to 3rd, yeah. Pierre Gasly.
Pierre Gasly, first podium. Oh, because he never got a podium in the Red Bull. Because he was beyond dog food. It was also Brazil 2019, wasn't it?
It was. It was. Two debutants at once. Lance Stroll.
Was Baku 17.
Yep. Four left. I think he only got one wrong still.
I'm staggered by this.
Alex Albon.
I believe was Mugello 2020.
It was. Lando Norris.
Oh, was Austria 21. No, 2020.
Well saved. It was 2020. George Russell.
Was Belgium 21.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And the last one, which I think is probably the hardest. Ocon.
Oh, he had a... no, was it a weird one? I wouldn't say it was a weird one. I believe it was Bahrain 2020, wasn't it?
Was it Bahrain? Or was it
well,
Sakhir?
Bahrain out 2020,
we'll give you that. There you go.
Because obviously everyone remembers Perez winning, but they don't remember Ocon P2.
Or Stroll on the podium.
Because Ocon should have won.
Well done. That was very good.
I'll take that.
I think you got 16 out of 17.
I will absolutely take that.
The one thing I'm very surprised that you haven't mentioned is the fact that Nico Hülkenberg was not any of those drivers.
Well, I before we went into it, I was trying to think of the four that haven't. And obviously it would be Lawson, Sonoda, Hülkenberg and Sargent, isn't it? So Hülkenberg
and Joe.
So,
because obviously Ricciardo makes it 21
drivers.
Yes,
yeah. So Hülkenberg is in good company there, isn't he? You know, you got four juniors and Nico Hülkenberg who can't score
There's four drivers who haven't got a podium. I support three of them.
Really does sum it up perfectly, doesn't it? That was a good quiz, Jamie. I enjoyed that. Were you surprised I did as well as I did?
Not really. I think I'd have got all of them.
Of course you would. But you're a nerd. You know wheels.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Driver of the day, then, Jamie, for the Japanese Grand Prix. Got a few haven't you?
I'd be very boring and give it to Maximiliano Verstappen.
I would say Oscar Piastri. I'm going to say.
Fair. I just think, the race was fairly predictable. Everyone kind of finished where they should, so I'll give it to the race winner.
Yeah. How did we do in predictions this week? I think we both were pretty boring, didn't we?
To match the race, we were pretty boring. So I went Max Verstappen pole, Max Verstappen win.
4 points.
Sergio Perez P2, which should have happened if he was competent, and Lando Norris P3, which also would have happened if Perez was competent. So
you'd have been bang on.
I was on for a winner.
You would have been bang on, but instead you got, what was it, 5 points.
I got five.
Who did I guess?
You went Max Verstappen, yeah. Pole. Max Verstappen yeah. win. And actually went for Lewis Hamilton in P2, which was a little bit far off. Also Lando Norris in P3. So
okay, 5 points apiece. 5-5. So that takes us...
I do want to slightly segue a man who I never thought I'd be praising on this podcast. To be fair to him, Matt from whatever their podcast is called now.
Oh, yeah. He got all five, top
did you
five,
see?
Didn't he?
He got top five bang on.
That was
which I
impressive.
Thought, fair play.
I'm sure he'll be banging on about that for the next 5 years.
Yes. Yeah. But I just thought, you know what?
From a slightly worse F1 podcast than our own. Yes. But yeah, that means I believe scores now are 53-51 to you. So I'm still there.
Yes.
Which is impressive considering last.
I'm just going to let you go first and then match it.
Pretty
every
much,
time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to do that from round two, to be honest. What I love about this, though, still, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken, is I've never been beating you in the 3 years we've done this.
At no point have I
actually been winning. We've been tied this year, but I've never led still. So I'm hoping before the end of the year.
There's still time.
Either
there's
that or
time.
I do with Sebastian Vettel. And don't
it's a much closer title fight than what we have in real life. So.
Yeah. Final thing then, Jamie, has got to be the race rating, hasn't it? What are we rating the Japanese Grand Prix?
I wonder. It wasn't the best. If Singapore, I think I gave a 9.5 or a 9 or something. I would give Japan maybe a 5.
I was going to go 4.
You know what? The first half of the race, before I started falling asleep, it was slightly... It was like intriguing. Okay. The word. You know, there was quite a few things okay. going on. I wouldn't say entertaining, so I'd give it a 5.
Okay, fair enough. I'll match you then. I think a 4 is probably a bit unfair, isn't it? There was still a bit going on at the end of the day.
A little.
Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie?
Let's have a quick look at the old Twitter.
Nothing's been confirmed, nothing's been finalised, anything like that.
Not that I can see. No, that's
wonderful. Thank you all, as always, then, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you drop us a follow, leave us a like, get yourself subscribed, all that good stuff. And we'll return then next week for a Qatar Grand Prix preview, Jamie. I must admit, I'm looking forward to the return of Qatar.